And good morning. Hello, this is Dr. Roy Morgan. Welcome to a nice, moist Saturday morning. Kind of sprinkled all the way into town. I can't count the number of frogs that I saw jumping across the road. I know they were just minding their own business, probably looking for a fly or a June bug to munch on, but something about driving down a road that hasn't been disturbed by a vehicle in the country over the last 12 hours kind of gets them jumping, hopping just a little bit. All right, if you haven't ever tuned into this program before or heard this radio station, maybe you're just passing through. Sure, I'm glad to have you as a listener this morning. I genuinely hope I can say something that might spark a little bit of interest in you. And who knows, you might even say to yourself, I wonder if that applies to me. Well, there are several things that we all have in common. We're human beings. Yes, every individual is biochemically unique. What one person's dietary regimen might work for them may not work so much for another person. Or a different way of saying this is, some people have very unique nutritional needs, and unless those needs are met, well, you don't get the benefits that you'd like to have. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. This program is called Health Essentials. I have read this information to you before. It comes from the Well-Being Journal, but I want to do it one more time. But what I want you to do is, if you've heard this before, just, you know, let's just rethink this just for a moment. It's just very brief. It won't take me long to get through it, but it's called Glutathione and Vibrant Health. And what I'll do is I'll add my little flair to it at the very end. Harold Foster found that selenium, along with the amino acids, L-glutamine, N-acetylcysteine, and tryptophan, they increase the body's production of glutathione. Susan Smith Jones, Ph.D., writes, and I quote, "One common characteristic seen in patients diagnosed with asthma, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's, AIDS, MS or multiple sclerosis, cancer, and a host of other diseases is that they are all usually dramatically low in glutathione. But ask yourself, has my doctor ever measured my glutathione levels to see if maybe I might benefit by consuming some glutathione, or what I would say is foods that are very rich in glutathione, as I avoid foods that destroy glutathione? Just think about that. Low levels of intracellular glutathione, what it really means is that free radicals are neutralized less efficiently, and inflammation goes on uncontrolled. It doesn't take the smartest person in the room to figure out that inflammation is a driver of every chronic disease process you can think of. Sure, if you're sweeping out the gutters and you fall and, you know, bruise or contuse your body severely, yeah, that was due to a trauma. And sure, God designed all these mechanisms to make repairs to the body. You want those. But when I say chronic diseases, just kind of fill in the blank. What can you think of? If somebody is undergoing very severe mental decline, such as Alzheimer's or dementia, what if they have a neurological disease such as Parkinson's? Well, I think that's a good thing to look at. What if they have chronic heart disease or arthritis, or they have cancer? All those things would be, there's not enough glutathione to help counter inflammation. Let me go in a different direction here. And speaking of glutathione's role as a master antioxidant and detoxifier, author and nutritional researcher Michael Murray, ND, states, "This combination of detoxification and protection from free radicals results in glutathione being one of the most important anti-carcinogens, that means anti-cancer, and antioxidants in our cells." Which means if you have a deficiency of glutathione, it is devastating to your health. It means you probably will not be recovering from whatever you have. Yes, maybe prayer will change all that. But if you're deficient in glutathione, there's just going to be a whole lot of repairs that go undone. When we are exposed to high levels of toxins, glutathione is used up faster than it can be produced or absorbed from the diet. We then become much more susceptible to toxin-induced diseases such as cancer. Especially if our phase one detoxification system is highly active. Diseases that result from glutathione deficiency are not uncommon. A deficiency can be induced by diseases that increase the need for glutathione. Deficiencies of the nutrients needed for glutathione synthesis, or diseases that inhibit the formation of glutathione. Anybody heard of a trace element called selenium? There you have it. How about vitamin C? Robert Keller, MD, Chairman, CEO, and CSO of Phoenix Biosciences, makes it sound like a supplement company, probably, and practicing physician, which I do respect that. In the real world, someone that's efficiently and aggressively trying to help people, I think that counts, doesn't it, folks? Your momentum is in the area to bless people and to help people regain their vigor and their health. Dr. Keller is one of the leading scientists in the field. Keller believes that decreases in the production of glutathione is much more rapid than stated in some scientific literature. That's his way of saying, I think the situation is worse than what they're telling us. He attributes much of this decline to the diet's lack of nutrition. Yeah, I know it sounds like a good idea to run down to Sonic and grab a grilled cheese sandwich or a hot dog because you want one. Okay, I get it. You want one. That's what you want. But you're just destroying yourself by doing that because there's no nutrients in it. Besides a lack of nutrients in the hot dog, there is a quite extensive load of toxins that you're subjecting your body to. I'm going to further read the quotation. These factors have an impact on the ability of each individual cell to produce energy and eliminate waste. Do you have enough energy? Okay, well, think about this. The immune system is then impaired, and the body's innate ability to self-heal cannot function optimally. Of course, this is the author of the book that I like, Jimmy Gutman, MD, and I'm going to quote him. The protective activity of glutathione is twofold. Number one, it enhances the activity of the immune cells and also functions as an antioxidant within them. In his medical practice, Dr. Keller has found that almost all of his critically ill patients had one thing in common. They were dramatically low in glutathione. Isn't that interesting, folks? One common factor among all people that are in this horrible disease decline, they don't have enough glutathione to meet their needs. It means their health is spiraling out of control. Over the past 10 years plus of intensively researching glutathione's role in the body, he has found a way to increase glutathione levels in his patients by providing nutrients. He says L-glutamine and acetylcysteine. I would say vitamin C and selenium are two of the great ones. You know what I would say also? I really want to make this a simple topic this morning. You know, God has given us foods that have generous amounts of glutathione in them, and they're there for us if we will only eat them. And so just kind of keep an open mind this morning and decide, would I like to consume something that has tremendous an upside? There's no downside to it. But these foods all contain sulfur. And in a roundabout way, that's what glutathione is. It's a sulfur-containing amino acid or tripeptide or protein that has remarkable benefits. Would you care to guess which foods contain glutathione? Ever heard of broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts? Asparagus might be the highest, Do y'all like asparagus? Ever heard of onions before? You know, it would be very interesting. What if there was a challenge or a study to put all this to the test, and they said just these two things? We want group A of people that have, severe inflammatory diseases like severe arthritis, heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's. What if we had all their children consume two types of diets? I mean, their offspring, not them so much. I know we should, but just theoretically. What if we have their offspring that might be genetically predisposed toward disease? What if we had them eat the typical American diet, which is high in sugar, refined oils, junk food, basically? And we counter that with those that self-select or they choose to take care of themselves. Did you know that exercise increases glutathione production? You know how hard it is to get a person to heal when they're very physically inactive? And they can give you all the reasons why they don't want to, you know, move or exercise. Because it interferes with them watching soap operas. Whatever you want to say is fine. Okay, so you get to watch your soap operas. So you get to play one more video game. I still remember the young man that came to see me. He said he didn't have time to exercise. And I said, well, you're not working, you know, for a living. So what do you do with your day all day long? And I think he woke up at the crack of 10:30. Then not dawn, 10:30 a.m. That's probably an hour and a half before, noontime. And he explained to me between the 6 hours of video games and the 6 hours of television throughout the day that left him not even 15 minutes to do sit-ups or push-ups or lunges or squats. And, of course, he had no time to go outside either. Anyway, I know you already get what I'm talking about. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Now I can hear you. Okay, how can I help?
Oh, I was talking to my dad on the phone this week, and he mentioned that he's really itchy. His skin is very, very itchy.
Is he taking any drugs whatsoever?
Yes, he's got hypertension drugs. And he's tried a lot of over-the-counter itchy stuff, and I'm thinking that's probably not the way to go. Well, but he's old, and the doctor just says, well, it's because you're old. There's nothing we can do about it.
Do you think that's very good advice?
I think that's their experience.
Do you think they put a lot of effort into trying to figure out why the skin's itchy?
No.
Well, obviously not. I mean, that's kind of the only answer we can come up with. So that's all we have to go on. But you know what? I could almost care less about that. I'm sure your dad's a great guy, right?
Oh, he has been.
Well, can you think of any positive things that he did with you as a child that you would that makes you feel happy?
Oh, a few.
Sure. Well, then there's a few things that we can point to that are positive, and I would say I would just assume every human being end their life on a high note. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I would like to go out in a very positive light, especially if there's been some glitches in the past. I don't know of anybody that hasn't had some family trauma of some kind, but I would like to help your father, so let me kind of give you an idea, all right? If it were me and I were taking blood pressure medications, I'm going to give you a different take on this, and this is probably going to come slightly from left field, but all you can do is pass this on to your father and see if it gives him a tremendous blessing. A lot of those drugs, they prevent the liver from detoxifying. And so when drugs build up to a toxic level, they can cause itching like there's no tomorrow. The skin can crawl, you never get relief. So what do we do about that? One of the simple things you do is by giving your body a rest. So I'm going to give you two or three ideas. There was a study done recently in Great Britain. And over the last 10 years, from the year 2005 to the year 2015, which is this year that we're living in, they showed that there was a 46.9% drop and the occurrence of heart disease in men. I'm kind of thinking that's why the doctors have him on blood pressure medication, because they're trying to lower anything that would put too much stress on the arteries of the heart. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. After this study was done, all the heart doctors started jumping up and down before they read it and said, oh, my word, can you believe? We are so thankful that people are taking their blood pressure medications and they're taking their cholesterol-lowering drugs that are good for their heart and they're taking their baby aspirin every day. Well, it had nothing to do with that. The study did a very thorough, exhaustive study of what was the root, what was the cause of all this great improvement. You know what it was? It was because all these men in Great Britain tried to start imitating their neighbors to the south, meaning France, and they drank a glass of red wine a day. Now, I'm not recommending that he drank red wine. I don't drink, you know, alcoholic beverages, really. But that was the greatest changer of heart disease. The nice thing about it was, it's natural. A grape, I don't think any human being is smart enough to design a grape. I just don't. Wish I were, but I'm not. But God's designed it. So even that one change greatly, greatly reduced the stiffness of their arteries, and so there was 46.9% less heart disease. Might as well just say 50%. If there was a drug that could do that, are you kidding me? It would be on every billboard, and they would say it's $1,200 a pill, and insurance companies would probably pay for it. Of course, insurance rates would go up. But if it were me, the next thing that I would do, I would make his diet very simple and easy. So one of the things that I mentioned just a while ago before you called, I talked about an antioxidant called glutathione. And yes, it's common. People that have severe itching of the skin, they're very low in glutathione. Glutathione is an antioxidant, which means it kind of soaks up some of the waste and the debris in the body so it can't harm us. So if your father were to eat eggs for breakfast, two pieces of uncured bacon, and a half of an avocado, and a bowl of blueberries, that would probably be food for his liver. Always think if the liver's clogged up, you're going to have itching. Do you know what choline is?
No.
Choline is a B vitamin-like compound. And so what your father would find out if he took some choline, he would probably start to feel better. But I would just tell your father to eat two meals a day. Eat a late breakfast, eat an early supper. Drink water. But it's going to be drugs like Tylenol and aspirin and ibuprofen, Advil, whatever you want to say. They do a horrible job of interfering over time with how well we keep our blood in great working order. So, yeah, you can take a baby aspirin a day, but you can also become very diseased and sick and go in horrible decline and be decrepit. So if it were me, I'd probably drink two or three cups of dandelion tea a day. I would lay off all refined sugar if I chose to do so. I would, just so he can feel good again. But it may be the itching is from the... I saw a woman recently. Oh, my word, she was so swollen. It was just the blood pressure medication. And I think she called me and said within a couple of days, all the itching went away. So itching is a pretty good sign he's having a reaction to a drug. So these other techniques will improve him to where maybe he won't need them. What do you think about that?
That's great. And he also has gout, and I think what you've mentioned will help with that, too.
Yeah, it really will. It really, really will. You know what? Technically, it's going to be a high buildup of uric acid that leads to the development of gout or those uric acid crystals. That's why black sweet tea or regular sweet tea is so toxic for those that have gout. And I am. I'm kind of sorry. Maybe you didn't have the best childhood. I wasn't trying to minimize anything. I really feel for you. But you still love your father, don't you?
I do.
And you're going to probably pass on some of this information to bless him and help him, right?
Yes.
So he could easily start consuming a shot glass of Dark Mountain tart cherry juice every day. That would be better than what they're giving him. How old is your father, by the way?
He'll be 93 in a little while.
Wow. You know what the lady from Argentina told me this week? She said her father is 85 years old, and he's the healthiest guy around, still going strong. And he drinks a very small glass of red wine with each meal. Those were her words. I'm not telling him to do that, but 93, obviously, he's got some amazing longevity in his body, doesn't he?
He does.
Is he not in great shape, or is he in pretty good shape for the shape he's in?
Well, he's been in much better. He used to be in a hiking club and a walking club, and he can't do that anymore.
So how recently has he been in the hiking club?
Probably 5 years.
Isn't that impressive? 88 years old, still in the hiking club. Where does he live?
In Canada.
I guess they have hills and mountains to hike there, right?
Oh, tremendous hills and mountains.
Nothing like here. Well, we have some hills here, but probably not as many as Canada, right?
No, they live on an island, and it's very pretty.
Is it called Vancouver?
It is.
Wow. I have a question for you. Has your father ever taken a video of him and Sasquatch walking on these trails together?
No.
Well, I was going to say, I would believe that.
They would not have worked a video camera.
How about if you fly a drone with a video camera over him and just to track him? Anyway, that's pretty cool. Does he believe in Sasquatch?
No, he doesn't believe in much.
Well, but he probably does believe in some things, right?
Yes. Food is at the top of the list.
What's at the top of the list?
Food.
Well, God gave us food for our comfort and our nourishment, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you can tell him to start eating foods that are rich in glutathione, that would be broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower and onions and Brussels sprouts and avocados. I don't know about anybody else. I never get tired of onions or avocados. Never get tired of asparagus. But that's me. Well, thank you very much for your call today. I really wish your father the very, very best, and I hope things go very well for him.
Thank you. I'll pass
yes.
it along.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye. Okay, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. You can just get right in, and I'll push the button right away. Let's go backwards slightly. If a person's made it to age 93, don't you think that they really have been blessed with a strong constitution? I do. Good morning, and welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm Dr. Morgan. Just got some real quick ones here for you. When you started your program, I missed it at the very
as
first.
As long as you turn your radio off, I'll be able to hear you.
The glutathione article, which you started reading from on the first, where did that?
One of the easiest books, I think I paid like $2.50 for the copy of my book. It's written by Jimmy Gutman.
Okay.
He's a medical doctor. His last name is spelled Gutman. The book that he's written about glutathione is phenomenal. It has all the research and the studies right there at your fingertip. I paid $3 in shipping and $2.50 for the book.
Okay, sir. That was the did you say GUT and then MAN?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Now, I probably won't have access to getting the book, but should I be able to probably find that online, some information on him probably?
You can get whatever you want, sure.
Okay.
You can buy the book if you want, or you can find his research online too. Sure.
Okay.
Type in his name.
Last week, also, article-wise, you were talking at the end of the program, and you were mentioning, and I think it had to do with in regards to statin drugs and maybe how they had a reverse of what the doctors thought that they might wind up doing. Do you what article or what journal that is? And if you don't have it this week, then I can listen to you or give you a call next week for it. I was just curious of where you were reading that one from.
I don't have that in front of me right now, but I try to give references when I do that. But I can tell you the study came from Great Britain.
Okay,
but, and I'll have to look up the title of the article, but I can tell you what it was concerning. We have within our body very specialized cells called stem cells. And these can make anything that you need. If you have damage to your liver, your stem cells can start making all the substances to repair that. And they're showing that statin drugs completely turns off the stem cells. That's not a good deal. That is really not a good deal.
No.
So if I say the word rejuvenation, do you like that word, rejuvenation?
I do.
Healing, repair. I like it too. But when you take statin drugs. Yeah, but when you take statin drugs, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to completely shut down their rejuvenation. And that's when their real problems are going to begin.
Okay. Well, and this is in regards to a woman that's a little older woman that I'm trying to help with.
Is this code talk for your mother?
Pardon me?
Is this code talk for your mother?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No, sir. But somebody that would know, my mother would know, in regards to she's a recovering heart patient, and she's has her regular doctor and then a cardiologist and takes some of the things, of course, that the cardiologist would have them do this or that. So I was just curious on that Great Britain study. If I call back next week, would you maybe be able to have the name of what that article was?
Well, that study from Great Britain on the men that had heart disease, it was reduced by 46.9% over 10 years.
Okay.
It was all based on red wine. That's what gave the biggest bang for the buck. That was greater, that was more effective than any drug or procedure that the medical profession had to offer. I'm not trying to be critical, but have you ever heard of a compound that's found in grapes called resveratrol?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So that's probably one of the things that they're aiming toward. The other one that I would probably say, there's quercetin. Now, mm-hmm. I know I'm being kind of technical by saying that, but I want to give you something to think about. But in my mind, I always think that if we consume a grape or wine, we're consuming something, or grape juice, it's so complex. It's not just one component. There's probably 10,000 different, if I call them phytonutrients or elements, that are all very beneficial. And when you take them together, they're very synergistic.
Right.
So... But I think that the wine that was found back in Bible times was probably relatively low in alcohol. I'm no wine expert. You could say, what's a Chardonnay? I'd say, I don't know. I just don't know.
Sure. But, Doc, do you think next
week... Do you ever look up any websites on health?
Well, that's what I was trying to see. If you could tell me, if you didn't know, have the journal, if you didn't have the article that you were reading from, that's what I was trying to find out.
I'm trying to think of...
Present it to the person. If I called you back next week, could you just make some shorthand notes?
Oh, yeah. Believe me, anything for you, anything. You name it, I will do it.
I appreciate. And the last two things very quickly, and because this particular person, as I mentioned to you, has had a heart attack and under cardiology, taking the things.
Well, you know what? You know what they need to do? Let me just kind of cut to the chase on that.
Let me cut with you, sir, because I don't want to take up your time. What I'm just trying to find out, can you tell me, or does she need to run this by her primary health care provider as well as cardiologist? Well, what I'm going to ask you is, can a person that's had a heart attack like that, you see any way that putting, like, to decrease inflammation in regards to arthritic, maybe type conditions?
Well, that's what the heart attack's from, inflammation.
No, with like a pat, like rubbing olive oil that you had mentioned before and castor oil. Do you see any negative how that could hurt or interact with the medicine cardiologist, or would they need to run it by their cardiologist before they did those two things?
No.
Gotcha, doctor. You have a fine day, and if you're looking for a costume, I hope you find it.
I'm not.
Okay. I know.
Thanks. But, bye-bye. One thing that I want you to consider, let me try to make this sound simple. And if you need a scientific reference, then we will do whatever we can to make sure you have that. Let me start over here, just kind of based on what the last caller said. Yes, if you feel really, really led not to do anything without your cardiologist or your physician telling you what to do, when to breathe, when to chew, which steps to take, you can do that. That's fine. That's your choice. The last time I checked, if you live in America, you can choose to smoke cigarettes or you can choose to not smoke cigarettes. I'm kind of saying that because my dad smoked cigarettes. That's the only thing I had in mind. I'm not judging anybody else. But, you know, there are some people, and I'm just going to make this sound very simple. Sometimes people walk in my office and they apologize for the number of supplements they're taking or the questions they have. I'm going, there's no reason to apologize. Are you kidding me? You're taking nutritional supplements. Let's just say they're taking vitamin C and selenium. There's no need to apologize for that. That means you're trying to help yourself and you're trying to bless yourself. I like that very, very much. So if you have the mindset that you want to help yourself, then I don't know that you really need to ask permission from your physician, who probably doesn't know the answer anyway. Just saying. It's good if you want to help yourself. But let's talk about the heart just very, very briefly. Yes, I realize it's very impressive to measure a person's cholesterol or triglycerides, LDL, HDL, VLDL. Yeah, those are all semi-valuable, but I don't know that they tell us a whole lot. Probably the greatest predictable value of all time to tell us if a person's about to have a heart attack. Okay, you mentioned the lady already previously had a heart attack. Is looking at what's called lipoprotein A. Sometimes it's just abbreviated with a capital L, small p, and then in parentheses you have the letter A, but that stands for lipoprotein A. That is probably the most accurate marker to predict if a person is prone or headed toward a heart attack. Now, why do when doctors usually measure a person's arteries, see how healthy they are, what do they usually go after? Usually they try to measure the coronary arteries. If somebody's going to have a dye job or they're going to have a balloon angioplasty, it's going to be in the coronary arteries, those arteries that feed and nourish the heart muscles. And probably what I would say in just simplicity is that these arteries in the body, they are under the greatest amount of stress just because of the pressures. And so what I want to say is they probably need help in repairing faster than any other arteries just because they're under greater tension and pressure. Yeah, the person that never is exposed to stress, they probably don't have any stress. But maybe those that are exposed to horrific stress, their bodies need greater aid and help at countering the stress. Does that make sense? So having your doctor measure lipoprotein A might go a long way. You know what would really be impressive? Is if you took the information of high levels of lipoprotein A, anything above 20 is going to be more heart disease. I saw a guy not that long ago. His lipoprotein A levels was like about 150. And I tell him, I said, you are going to die if you don't do something. And he was dead 3 weeks later. But he loved eating three pieces of pie with his barbecue sandwich. If you're eating all that sugar, I mean, it's going to generate massive amounts of, it's not going to make matters better. You know what I want to say? In my heart, I want to say that out of all the organs, the heart might be the easiest to heal. But looking at lipoprotein A levels, if yours are above 20, you know what the solution is for that? I'm just going to make it very simple. Our bodies require what's called vitamin C. And without vitamin C, it's hard for repairs to be made. Actually, repairs go undone. And your body is not in good repair. How do you like that? Well, you don't. So, yes, I realize the idea of rubbing a little bit of olive oil, I don't know that that's really going to get to the core of the matter. What I would say earlier, you know, there was a study done fairly recently where they examined all the different diets to try to reverse diabetes and heart disease. The American Heart Association diet, American Dietetic Diet, American Diabetes Diet, all of them failed in comparison to the diet that people chose for themselves. It's called eating a late breakfast and an early supper, two meals a day. Cut out the sugar. Works every time. That's called rejuvenation. What else you want to talk about? You want more information on that topic? See, at the end of the day, we either put things into our body that can actually heal us, make us metabolically stronger, help your brain function better. The power of repair and healing and rejuvenation is there for the taking. And God has been so increasingly, exceedingly good unto us. We have access to stuff now we didn't have 20 years ago. Are you kidding me? You can go into almost any grocery store and purchase broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower. You can go to these local farmers. God bless all the ranchers and the cattlemen and cattle women. Can I say that? Who provide and grow food for us. Man, they are the best. But you have to choose that over stuffing your face with, you know, how many preservatives could be in a hot dog from Sonic? I don't know. A bunch. All those chemicals are not good for you. But having grass-fed beef that's not full of chemicals, that is not associated with heart disease or diabetes. No, 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 no. But processed meats are. I realize this is going to disappoint a lot of people because they really love bologna and Spam and hot dogs. And there's people that they wake up in the morning fantasizing about how many servings of potted meat or Vienna sausages they can consume. So if you're going to consume meat, make sure it's not processed. Have you ever heard of uncured bacon as opposed to bacon that's filled with sodium nitrites, sodium nitrates, chemicals? These all are burdens to your body. And over time, your body can no longer detoxify or keep itself clean because it's been swamped and overwhelmed with so much toxic debris, you don't even stand a chance. So, you know, you'll be known by the questions that you ask. Is it wrong to ask questions? No. Do you remember in Acts 17, verse 11, and the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica? Because they eventually, or ultimately, they studied the scriptures to see if what Paul and Silas was saying was true and correct. If every physician or every healer was faced with having to bear out proof, I mean proof, I don't mean opinions. You know, one of the opinions that I heard this week, yes, it was very, very disconcerting. I feel very, very badly for the couple that was on the receiving end of this information, but a lady went to an oncologist for the first time, and I think she asked a very simple question: what's the cause of my cancer? And without missing a beat, the oncologist said, it's all these vitamins you've been taking. Just like that. As if it were the most factual piece of information. Well, I'm still waiting for a study to demonstrate that taking vitamin C causes cancer. Yes, it's true. If a person opts to take chemotherapy, and you can take this all with a grain of salt, I certainly do, but if a person is really enamored with the idea of taking lots of chemotherapy, that might be one situation where you don't want to use a lot of vitamin C, and I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to really make any more comment on that, because then I'll start going downward and talking about chemotherapy for long periods of time. You do know that all the oncologists in Canada, when they were surveyed, would they take chemotherapy if they had cancer? 87% of them said no, there was no way on God's green earth. I can't make this stuff up, folks. If an oncologist, if all of them say, excuse me, let me start over here. If they'll say this in a survey, probably in the real life, it's more like 99% would not do it. I mean, come on. But in a survey, this is just a hypothetical survey. Mr. or Mrs. Oncologist, if you had cancer, would you take chemotherapy? 87% said they would not. Now, that doesn't mean I know what would happen in the real world if they did develop cancer. Would they take chemotherapy? I don't know. I guess you could say this is hypothetical, but this is the profession that treats cancer. Anyway, if you eat an orange or a kiwi, or an apple that contains whole food vitamin C, has that really been shown to cause cancer? I don't think so. There is a phone line open at 903-586-5658. 5257. But it's just a whole lot funner and encouraging to talk about ways to rejuvenate the body. Wouldn't you say so? I would. Otherwise, all you're doing is just blindly, you know, is it okay to question things here? Is it? Do we have the freedom to do that? I can tell you, if you don't question, it may be there's a day that you have 40 officers at your front door wanting to inspect your prescription bottles to make sure that you've taken it. You think I'm joking about that, don't you? Oh, boy. Yeah, I know they can do that in the psychiatric institution. You have to actually take the meds in front of them. Go to jail, prison. Yep, you got to take what they give you. Yeah, but we're free. We're not in a psychiatric hospital. Yeah. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
Well, I'm not doing too bad, I guess. I just got over a bout with gout. And it was in my right ankle, and my foot and part of my leg is still swollen up with fluid. And rather than going back to the doctor to see what they could do about that, I thought maybe I'd give you a call this morning.
How much do you weigh?
About 240.
Is that more than what you should weigh?
Yeah, I'm 6'4", and I carry my weight pretty good, but that's more than I should weigh.
What did you weigh when you were 21 years old?
Probably 215.
Well, probably if you get to, and the truth is, you probably do carry your weight very, very well, which is a blessing. You don't have diabetes, do you?
No.
Excellent. Well, let me tell you some recommendations. The number one predictable value, according to the medical profession, on who's going to have a flare-up of gout is the size of a man's tummy. So if you were to eat a late breakfast and early supper, that would be one of the most effective ways to help your kidneys detoxify uric acid. If you decided that you would avoid all black tea, you're not a tea drinker, are you?
Not very often. I drink green tea.
Green tea is probably just fine, but it's going to be black tea. But it's going to be high fructose corn syrup and sugar that are probably the biggest drivers of gout. They clog up the kidneys. They keep the kidneys from filtering it out. But my interpretation is I want to work on the kidneys. I really do. So if I can talk you into eating more high-fat meats like eggs, ribeye steaks, that would be much easier on your system because there's a little bit less protein that can drive the gout. And if you focus on vegetables and fruit, you're probably going to tell me not only do you go from 240 back down to 215, but you never have another flare-up of gout again. But probably the most effective remedy when you have a flare-up is celery seed extract.
What does that do?
Well, do you know what gout is? Have you ever heard of uric acid crystals forming?
Yeah, they explained all that stuff to me.
And what happens is these crystals, to me, they look like if you dropped an old Coke bottle that was thick. You've seen those wicked sharp shards of glass on the driveway, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what gout crystals look like to me under a microscope when I've seen them before. I mean, it's about the most wicked, ugly, sharp. So every time that you move, when those crystals build up in great concentration, you're just slicing yourself to pieces, which means you're not very motivated to bend your ankle, are you? Or step on it.
No, it hurt extremely bad every time it had to move even a little bit.
So here's what I would tell you, and I'll try to give you a brief explanation. If you took the juicy part of a lemon and rubbed it all over your ankle, I'm going to suggest to you that within the lemon juice, if you let it dry to the ankle or air dry, that's going to help dissolve those crystals. I know that sounds kind of hokey, but I've seen it work over and over and over again. So if you decide that you're not going to consume any sugar and lay off the grains or any refined sugar, I don't really mind the sugar that comes in a strawberry. I haven't seen that to be problematic. Or if you tell me you want to eat a bowl of tart cherries, I haven't seen that be a problem. You know, that's the one thing that my wife required of me last week when I went to the store. She says, if you come back without bags of frozen cherries, you will not enter this house. So I said, yes, dear. But these are organic pitted frozen cherries. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, the kids eat them like candy. They are like candy almost. I mean, they're a little bit tart, but, you know, if you're used to it and you dig it, that's fine. But cherries, they help assist your kidneys at dissolving the uric acid crystals that are built up. And to me, that's very advantageous because if we don't fix this, I guarantee you, you're going to have a heart attack and die. I don't want that to happen.
Me either.
The uric acid is going to cause just, it's going to, it's all, anytime that there's gout, there's just very high levels of disease at the heart and the arteries. I want to make them clean and healthy. So celery seed extract can be an aid to helping dissolve those. Lemon juice applied topically and taken internally, I think is a good deal. If you tell me you want to have two lemonades a day, I might use stevia to sweeten it. I might say, way to go, dude. But you've got to lighten the amount of food that you're taking in. All this can be turned around if you want to. But
I do.
Tart cherry juice or eating those tart cherries. It's so easy to buy the big bags of organic cherries. I think a 4-pound bag costs, $13 and change. That may sound like a lot, but, you know, you're either going to put something into your body that will help heal your kidneys or heal your system, or you're going to put something in your body that's going to be of no account, if not drive the disease process even further. So eating cherries can be divine. You don't know how lazy I am, do you? The kids say we're hungry. Okay, let me open the freezer and pour some cherries in a bowl. It makes my job so easy, it's ridiculous. But no, but that anybody could do that. You could do that. But I would really, really encourage you to work on drinking plenty of water. Water is a universal solvent that helps wash the debris clear and clean. I never want to underestimate how powerful water is. I always think that if I had gout, I'm going to wake up in the morning, I'm probably going to drink 2 glasses of water before I do anything else. So what if I have to run to the restroom within 30 minutes to pass the water? It doesn't bother me at all. Now, if I was limping on an ankle that was swollen, yeah, that might be different. I grant you that. You could always rub castor oil on your ankle to see if we can't clear all that debris a little bit faster. But I'm telling you, buddy, if we can lower the uric acid levels in your bloodstream, your health is greatly improving. You are going to be much healthier. So if you lose the extra weight, if you eat a lot less than what you eat right now, if you just focus on eating higher fat cuts of meat, when I say higher fat, does the idea of a ribeye steak disturb you at all?
No, I just I love them.
You know, there was a truck parked across the street, and their banner said, 20 ribeye steaks for $40. I'm having a really, really hard time believing that.
maybe really cut thin.
Well, yeah, they were probably the thickness of a sheet of notebook paper and the size of a quarter. But you can do all these things if you'll focus on eating vegetables that are low in starch. Onions, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. But I'm just telling you, buddy, it's sugar. Is there any chance that you consume more sugar than what you need to?
From time to time, but I try not to I try not to go overboard on it.
Well, would it be okay with you if you got back down to 215?
It'd tickle me to death, yeah.
That would preserve all the income that you've been working for all these years. You wouldn't have to spend toward health care. Is that fine?
Yeah.
What would you spend your money on instead of on gout? I'm guessing you have a Barbie doll collection. Is that correct?
No. No. I'm more into helping other people.
Oh, well, then you are the best person of all time. See, you're just naturally a great encourager and helper. Keep up the good work, man.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Let me know how it works out, please.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. There's about 10 minutes and 13 seconds left in the program. Here we go. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I'm going to pick your brain a little bit and
sure.
Do some flashback. You talked a few weeks ago about tinnitus, about the ringing in an ear, and I was busy doing things, didn't write down what you said was fantastic for helping that go away. Can you?
Is that really the term I used? Did I actually talk about tinnitus? Because I don't remember that. I'm just joking.
It's been a while. I think you slept since then.
Yes, yeah, that's a phrase I want to invoke. Who has tinnitus?
My daughter. She was in the Navy back in 2002. She got probably a really high fever, and then since then she's had a ringing in the ear, and she's basically deaf in that ear. She can't hear.
Well, there's two or three techniques I would try before I give up hope. Number one, I would purchase some beeswax ear candles. And if you don't know how to apply those, it's relatively easy. All you do is just get on YouTube and type in, how do I do a beeswax ear candle effectively?
Okay.
The videos on there, I've seen several that are really, really good.
Right.
So I'm not making any health claims here, but I'm telling you what I would do if I were in the same situation. Okay?
Okay.
Number next. If I had to choose three supplements to consume day in and day out to see if we could have, actually, I just moved the list up to four supplements. And what you're going to find is anything that stays chronically inflamed, your body's going to calcify. Thus, we talk about vitamin K2. Vitamin K2 is one of the rare elements that can reverse calcifications of the tissues. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so vitamin K2. Have I ever told you that I'm in love with cod liver oil?
I think I've heard that.
I don't
that
know one. If I want to call it agape love. I'm going to call it phileo love.
Okay.
But cod liver oil, it can have a very specific action upon reducing inflammation in the ear or the ear bones or the auditory centers. I would also say vitamin C. I've got to throw magnesium into the mix, and see, I'm already on to number five right now. But you know how I just I told the gentleman that study that just came from Great Britain that showed that in men, heart disease occurrence had dropped by 46.9% over 10 years, and they're jumping up and down. It was all due to red wine. But there is a compound found in red wine called resveratrol. It's phenomenal.
And she does like wine. Yeah, she does like wine. That won't be a hard sell for that one.
So I found one that she might be agreeable toward, right?
Well, she's with all of it. My dad was a doctor of chiropractic, so we're very much into holistic and healthy and trying to stay away from medicines as much
yeah.
as possible.
See, you have a very, very unique background, don't you?
Yes, sir.
You know, my kids don't even know any better. They think that I'm normal. They don't know that I'm different than everybody else.
Exactly.
Because
they'll learn it one of these days. Yes, and they'll appreciate it one of these days. Okay, and I have one other question for you before we leave, and it's about, was that all for the inner ear?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cold and flu season, you were talking about taking a lot of stuff as opposed to a flu shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So can you give me a list of some of those? We're doing honey and cinnamon.
Excellent. If it were me, and I'm only saying if it were me, I'm not giving you a medical recommendation. There is a product called Flu Max Pro. And I think it goes for like 20-something bucks and change. But to make a long story short, I have put it to the test over and over and over again. And so let me give you three or four different ideas. You're out in public, you're minding your own business, you're examining the avocados, and a lady pulls up right beside you with her shopping cart, and she starts sneezing and coughing, and you go, ma'am, are you okay? And she says, no, I've got the flu. Nobody will get groceries for me. And you think it's a good idea to hug her and greet her with an holy kiss. That may not be the best idea, but that might be one application for spraying some of that Flu Max Pro under your tongue. It is a homeopathic flu vaccine.
Okay.
I realize every medical doctor listening to this program, they are just jumping up and down right now, and they're just having a hissy fit over what I just said. But you know what I heard on the radio this week? I can have a hissy fit, too, like anybody else. I heard the medical doctor from UT Tyler say, what about a person getting a flu vaccine and saying it caused them to have the flu? She said over and over again that it's impossible. But you know what? In the real world, you know how many times I've heard the stories of a person getting a flu shot only to be sick for 3 weeks with the flu? More than I can shake a stick at.
Well, isn't that what the flu shot is?
Yes. Well, have you ever heard this before? Has anybody ever told you they got a flu shot and they came down with a bad flu?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not alone. It's just that my eyes are really tuned to that. My ears listen to those stories because I get to hear them all the time. So, vitamin D3. Much more effective at preventing the flu than the flu vaccine. Let me think. The last 3 years they've given the flu vaccine, how successful has it been? I think 1 year was 21% effective. Another year was 11. And then was it 8% effective? What's your interpretation of success?
Zero. Like nobody gets it.
Yeah. That means it's a 80% failure, 89% failure, and 93% failure or 92% failure. Those aren't good numbers, but they keep pushing it as if it's very effective.
Right.
How would you like to have robust immune function, meaning
love
your immune
it.
System? Yes, absolutely. I don't have to convince you if your father was a chiropractor. He probably kind of instilled that into you. That means you're a weirdo like I am, right?
Exactly.
Maybe,
and I get funny
maybe,
looks.
Maybe we're not weirdos at all. Maybe we're the ones that are actually doing the right thing, because if you take a flu vaccine four in a row, you're going to have a 700 to 800% increase in developing Alzheimer's in your lifetime. And you talk about devastating. See, you're bright and you're smart and you're funny. And you're probably very, very good looking, right?
Just about.
Okay, that's good. But you just soon keep your mental function intact, right?
Exactly.
So vitamin D is much more effective than the flu vaccine. So those are simple things right there that you can do. But I can tell you what was used 120 years ago. They used cinnamon oil, and they used echinacea, and they used golden seal and elderberry. I'm trying to think, what has really changed significantly over the last 120 years? Anyway, don't answer that question, but that's what they used to use very effectively, and those were very popular. Now, if you were like me and you go back and see, I really enjoy reading all the old school stuff. I really like that because I like very simple health care. I don't want health care to be so complex that, yes, I know they have this new cholesterol-lowering drug, and it actually might be good. But it requires an injection by your medical doctor once a month, and it's only $1,200 a month. But that's not my interpretation of simple, inexpensive health care. What's 12 times 12?
144.
There you go. $14,400, that's your price for this drug. Or would you rather take the bull by the horns and say, I'm going to choose to do what I can to take care of myself? That's called diet and lifestyle and exercise. Having good positive emotions, growing spiritually and maturing spiritually. That might be the greatest booster of health of all time.
All right. Now then, all of the things that you were talking about, cold and flu, I have my six-year-old nephew living with me. So get this in him also. He has a hard time swallowing the
tablets.
Then just go with
the liquid formulation. There's a product that I use called Kid Cold. It has ginger, echinacea. I can't remember if it has olive leaf. And truly, olive leaf is one of the best antivirals of all time. It just is. I mean, I've tried just about everything. It just works over and over again. Of course, I'm a fan of colloidal silver.
Right.
Anyway, it has been really good talking to you, and I appreciate your call. And thanks for listening to the radio station.
Thank you for all you do.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, there's about, 15 or so seconds left in the program. It's truly been a blessing to be with you today. Please be encouraged. You can improve your health if you want to. But that's probably where we start with the equation. If you want to improve yourself, who can stop you? Who? Well, I don't know of anybody that can stop you.